Well, Lord, we are here. We are depending on you to do whatever you want to do in us today. It's entirely up to you. We ask you to just bring life to your word, to open us up, that your Holy Spirit would do inside of each one of us whatever needs to happen, that we could grow closer to you, that we could get free from all the things that hinder us, Lord, the sin, the pain, the worries, the selfishness, the pride, whatever, God, is hindering us, that you would expose it today and grant us repentance. Lead us to repentance with your goodness. It all depends on you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Today's lesson is called Show Yourself. Isaiah 49. We're going to start in Isaiah 49. Verse 8. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard you, and in a day of salvation have I helped you, and I will preserve you, and I will give you for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. There's an acceptable time. There's an acceptable time for everything God does in us, because when His Spirit's not moving, you can't make anything happen. There's times you can get up and say, today I'm ready. Today I'm going to open up and I want you to come and heal me. And He just doesn't seem to show up. But if it's the day that He's knocking on your heart, if it's a day that He is there to do something, don't resist Him, because there's an acceptable time for you for everything He's doing in your life. And you need to cooperate with His timing. But He said, today is an acceptable time. I have heard you. I have heard your cry for what you want, for what you need. God is planning. I know sometimes we're a parallel of He's talking to a certain person. He's also speaking about Christ that will come. And in that, everything He's speaking about Christ who will come, He's also speaking to us, who now Christ lives in. So there's kind of the picture of King Darius, as we keep going, whom He was speaking to. And then He was all of a sudden talking about Christ, who was going to set people free. But then He's saying, you are my voice, because Christ is living in you. So you kind of have to look at it. This message is to you. It is God speaking to you, and He's speaking about Christ in you. So when He says that I'm giving you for a covenant to the people, a covenant, I'm making a promise to the people to establish the earth. What is He trying to establish on the earth? What is He trying to do? He's trying to restore it to the way that it was supposed to be in the first place. He's trying to restore us to what He created us to be and to do. So He is talking to a certain person. He's also talking that Christ has come to seal the covenant and to restore us. And He's talking to us. He wants to send us out to release Christ through the church to restore what God is doing on earth and to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoner, go forth, and to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. I have begged God to see people in bondage that we could just walk up and say, go forth, you're free. No more bondage. No more addictions. No more prison of the enemy. Go forth, walk in your freedom. Wouldn't you love to be a minister that could say that? Well, in order to say go forth, you have to say show yourself. Because people are in a bondage because they're in a darkness. Darkness brings them into a bondage. Deception brings them into bondage. Lies bring them into bondage. Darkness in the Strong's Concordance, this word, number 4655, meant to cover, to shut out the light. Jesus is the light. Spiritual, moral, intellectual darkness arises from error, ignorance, disobedience, willful blindness, rebellion. But darkness is an evil system, absolutely opposed to the light. So whatever's in darkness is opposite of Jesus. Whatever is hiding is opposite of Jesus. Whatever has got you in this prison of darkness, whether it's, I don't get it, I don't understand. That's a darkness intellectually. I can't stop this. It's a darkness of the bondage of sin. Whatever kind of darkness it is that's in you, and there's secret sins that we may not commit, but they're in our mind, they're in our heart, they're in our past, or they're in our present. We think on them. These things that hide in us, things you don't want anybody else to know. You hope nobody else ever finds out. I'm doing okay, but wow, if I suddenly was getting judged by my thought life, where would I stand? If all of a sudden I had to stand before the entire church and every thought that I had last night were exposed, how would I look this morning? That's your darkness. And God said, show yourself, because the enemy lurks in your darkness. What's in darkness, he can use against you. What's in darkness, he torments you with it. What's in darkness, he keeps you in bondage with it. And he makes you believe things that are not true. Well, they wouldn't like you if they knew you thought that. They wouldn't respect you anymore if they knew about that. There's nothing you can do about it anyway. Nobody can help you. You can't change. Those are the lies the enemy can beat you up with. Whatever's in darkness is his weapon. He can use it against you. And it needs to come out. You need to show yourself. You need to show yourself if you want to be free. You need to get honest. When you show yourself, back to verse 9, he says, you can go forth, say to those in darkness, show yourself, and they shall feed in the ways. A lot of people want a one-touch miracle to come out of their darkness. They go, well, okay, I have this problem, and I just want you to pray for me and say, go forth, now you're free. And they're going to go home and all their thoughts are different. All their emotions are different. No more bondage. No more problem. Wow, it was a miracle. I'm just a whole different person now. But he says you will feed in the way. And your pastures will be in high places. As you walk with him, he'll feed you. He'll nourish you. As you walk in this newness of a path, then you will be nourished. They shall not hunger or thirst. Neither shall the heat or sun smite them, for he that has mercy on them shall lead them. Even by springs of water will he guide them. See, you have to follow him. When he says, go forth, where he wants you to go is get right behind Jesus and follow step by step. What now? What next? What step? How do I follow you? Where are you leading me? Feeding in high places. Feed on the Word of God. Feed on worship music. Feed on thoughts that are good. Don't allow those other thoughts. But he's going to guide. He's going to lead you into your restoration. It's usually not a one-touch miracle. We were around and witnessed what you would call a one-touch miracle. Back in the River Move out of Toronto, the Father's Heart, all those names they gave it. We were right in the middle of that thing. We went over to Canada, Toronto, about 12 times. Our church in Flint was very connected with them. We were trained by them to minister the same way. Our church in Flint broke out in that renewal every Friday night, every Saturday night. We were right in the middle of the miracle stuff, where people who had been depressed, who had been to counselors, who had been to psychiatrists, who were on antidepressant drugs, they came forward and the minister said, you are free. And they fell on the floor and they got up and said, I'm not depressed. And they came back the next night and said, no more medicine. I got rid of the medicine. No more depression. I am free for the first time in my life. This has done more for me than psychiatrists and pills. I am free. I am free. We saw people physically healed instantly. We saw the coolest things. I mean, healing after healing. And God would say, oh, this person's back is out of line, and I'm going to fix it. We'd put our hands out here, and the spirit would start doing this, and the body would move. Wherever the hands moved, they couldn't see our hands. We didn't touch them. We saw the power. We saw legs grow out that were too short. We saw a bump dissolve, shrink right off a lady's arm. We saw the one-touch miracle happen. But that doesn't mean they got to skip being led and being guided out of their darkness, because that was only the touch. Yeah, Harvey got gold teeth. Yeah, he got gold teeth miraculously in a service. You know, that's actually a real good example of a miracle. Miracles do happen, but they're the calling card to get your attention. They're not what really change your life. You have to follow Christ into the changed life. He wants obedience. He wants character. He wants obedience. He wants character. That's what he wants. So he's not going to just zap you with his magic wand and make your life perfect. Harvey's teeth are a really good example of a miracle. Harvey got a couple of gold teeth and a silver one. That's beautiful. That's awesome. But he still got all these others that need to be white, that need to be fixed. He still has a mouth full of teeth that need fixing. When God touches you with the miracle, it's to say, I'm here, I care, I love you, I do have the power to help you. Now follow me, obey me, form the character I need in you, let Christ live in you, give me your life. Many of the people that were touched with those miracles did not continue to follow him. They did not continue. Right. We saw them. We saw the leader of the Friday night revival fall away. We saw so many. I'd say most of them fell away, wouldn't you? Yeah. Most of them fell away when the miracles were done and the party was over and the shouting stopped and it was just time now to be tested. Time to obey. Time to follow. And they didn't do it. They didn't do it. And they ended up just quitting on God. See, he's not here just to give you a gold tooth. He's not here just to give you an instant healing. He's not here just to touch those wounded areas and restore you. He's here to transform your whole life. He's here to form Christ in you. He is here that you learn to walk with him, know him, experience him, and live in him. And it's going to take that obedience. It's going to take that for you to come out of your problems. 11, he says, I'll make all your mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. He has a road for you to walk. If you don't walk that road, you aren't going to make it. In verse 10, he has mercy on them and he shall lead them. He shall guide them. If you want to walk in the highways, you want to be nourished and you want to drink of the living waters, you got to follow. You got to follow step by step, day by day. We live in a time where people have misunderstood what the day of grace is. I mean, we take Old Testament as law, New Testament as grace. Christ did away with the law. Yes, the letter of the law, so that we live by the spirit of the law. The spirit. He said the letter of the law was your schoolmaster. Some of us never went to law school. We didn't even know what the law said or what it was about in the first place. But the Jews went to law school. They understood the law. Now, when he said it was your schoolmaster to bring you to Christ, once you accept Christ and his spirit is in you, now you're supposed to have the law of God in your heart so that you don't want to do those wicked things. Those laws exist because of the wicked nature of man. God had to tell us, don't go take your neighbor's wife. Don't go steal his money. Don't kill him. God had to tell us those things. But when the Spirit of Christ lives in you, not only don't you want to take his money, you should want to give him yours when he needs it. See, it takes you even to a stronger law. The Old Testament said, do not commit adultery. The New Testament says, don't even think about it. Don't even entertain that in your heart, or you are guilty. It holds you accountable for what you think and what you feel. And God today is holding you accountable for what you think and what you feel, not to judge you, not to rebuke you, not to condemn you, but to deliver you, to set you free from what you think and what you feel. He wants you to come out in freedom. He wants to heal you. But you have to show yourself. Come out of your darkness. Look over at Isaiah 50 in verse 10. I want you to know that he's talking to us, not the heathen, not the unsaved. In verse 10, who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? He said, you that fear God, you that obey God's servant, which was Jesus, I'm talking to you. And yet you, some of you, most of us, you're still in some darkness. So he's talking to us. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. To stay upon means to rely upon. If you really are relying upon God and you're letting him lead you, he's coming to you and saying, I didn't take this to the Sunday morning crowd. There's a lot of unsaved people on Sunday morning. I brought it to you who are coming out for something more, something deeper. You want to go further. You're hungry. You already love the Lord. You fear his name. You already obey the voice of God. He said, but you have a darkness in you. You still have hiding in you. You still have secrecy in you. You still have fear in you. You still have that old nature, that old wound, that those things that happened years ago that you hide and bury and ignore. You can't do it. They're blocking him. He wants you to have freedom. He wants to go to the depth of your darkness and walk you out of it. He's talking to you. If you trust him, if you rely upon him, you will let him bring you out of it one step at a time. Follow him out of it. 51, hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock from whence you are hewn, to the hole of the pit from whence you were digged. Look unto the rock, that's Christ. There's your strength. There's your stability. Look to him. Rely on him. Follow him. Trust him. Now I'm going to take you to look back to the pit that I dug you out of. And we're going to find some darkness in that pit that I dug you out of. Not because I want to humiliate you or shame you, but because I want to set you free. I want to love you. I want to set you free. So where he takes you to look back into that pit, you need to let him take you. Follow him. Rely upon him. Look at verse 3. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. And he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. He wants to go into those wasted places of your life. What places of your life were wasted? Where did you get wasted, trashed, hurt? What is the wilderness in you? What areas in you are untouched by God still? Still dry, still thirsty. He wants to water them till the garden of the Lord can grow and gladness can be found there. Thanksgiving. You know, sometimes it's really hard to go into what God is showing us. We don't want to see it. We don't want to face it. We've tried to think of it before and it's hopeless. It just doesn't change. It doesn't help. But we need to go there if that's where God leads us and let him go there. Show yourself and come out of your darkness. In verse 11 is kind of a sad verse. No, because that's a good one, isn't it? So it's got to be 50, verse 11. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourself about with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire, in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall you have of my hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. Those things that we keep hidden, they're like playing with matches. They're like playing with fire. And if you play with fire, you get burned. God wants you to come out of it. Because those things you entertain in your heart, you entertain in your mind, you allow to stay hidden in you, they're like sparks. And they begin to encompass you. And pretty soon, they begin to burn you. You play with fire, you get burned. He said, if you're doing that, I can't touch that you keep hidden. I can't touch it. It's like you just keep kindling your own sparks around that thing by hiding it and feeding it and stoking it. And you will lay down in sorrow. You will lay down in sorrow. And that's not what he wants for you. That is not what he wants for you. So if you're already laying down in sorrow, I'm just going to, how many times in 51, starting in 51, just the beginning of some of these verses in here. In 4, he says, hearken unto me, my people. In 6, lift up your eyes to the heavens. 7, listen to me, you that know righteousness. Verse 9, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in ancient days. You are the arm of the Lord. And he's asking us to wake up. In verse 16, this is what he wants to do. He says, I have put my words in your mouth, and I have covered you in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, you are my people. Awake, awake, stand up. And in 52, verse 1, awake, awake. Put on your strength. Put on your beautiful garments. Who's your strength? The joy of the Lord is my strength. What are your beautiful garments? The glory of God, the presence of Jesus, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God is calling us to wake up. He's calling us to wake up. Show yourself. Come out of your darkness. Do not hide from me. Don't hide from each other. Let's get it all out there. Let's rely on him and follow him out of our darkness. We're living in a deceived nation of Christians that think because God is love that it doesn't matter what they do. Jesus just paid for it all. It doesn't matter what I do. That is not true. He is still righteous. He's still holy. It matters very much what you do. There are so many consequences tied to what we're doing. But the consequence that Christ can't live through you. He can't speak through you. He can't call out to other people through you. You are supposed to be carrying his word and his power. We are the hand, the arm of the Lord. What can he touch through us? Until we show ourselves and come out of our darkness and wake up. Wake up. Let God wake us up. In verse 2 of 51. He says, shake yourself from the dust. Arise and sit down. I like that. When God says, arise and sit down. Whenever he does a contradiction, you got to stop and think about that. What is he saying? Stand up, shake off that dust, and get over here in God's side, and now sit down and see what he wants. Loose yourself from the bands of your neck, O captive daughter. Let's get loosed from those things. That's like a oxen, you know. They got that band around their neck, and all they can do is wherever the owner turns their head, that's where they go. Dumb ox to the slaughter. That's how they describe men. I'm so glad men got that one. They see a pretty girl, and it's dumb ox to the slaughter. Oh, but she's so sweet. No. Honey, it's not honey. It's not honey. Not God's honey. Okay, let's look at depart ye, depart ye, verse 11. Go ye out from here. Touch no unclean thing. Go out of the midst of her, and be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. You shall not go out with haste, nor by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear reward. Maybe you're not going to go out with haste. You're not going to run up here today and say, oh, God, that's it. I'm done. My whole life has changed. I'm never going to do this again. I'm never going to do that again. No, it probably isn't going to happen that way. But make a commitment. I'm going to follow God. He's going to lead me out. He's going to go before me. He's going to come behind me. When you think you're going to turn back, he's going to be right there saying, oh, no, you don't. I'm behind you, too. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Judgment is beginning at the house of God. We are going through this fiery trial of God just revealing everything in us that hinders us from walking with Him. It's just most of us are having a horrible time seeing all of our own sin right now. But it's not because He's condemning us. It's because He's delivering us. He's exposing it to get rid of it. Chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a special people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He's calling us out of it. Show yourself. Come out of it. You got something you're hiding. You have something that you're afraid to face. Show it today to God. If you have something you're hiding from us, confess your sins one to another. Because that thing that you hide from others, usually the devil keeps lying to you about it. When you share it with your Christian friends, they can bring the truth that set you free.
Yep.
You can't see it in truth because you were wounded by it. You were trapped by it. It's your weak spot. It's something the devil has you all wrapped up in his net of deceptions. But your friend may not be wrapped in that net. So when you share it with them, they can begin to cut away all those lies and get that net off you. So maybe you need to share it openly with those you can trust to love you. And they will love you. If they love God, they will love you. If they reject you, they got some darkness to come out of. They've got darkness to come out of. You're a chosen generation. Go to 2 Corinthians, back up to 2 Corinthians in chapter 3. Verse 18, one of my favorites. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Take it apart just a little bit. Open face, no hiding, no masks, no pretending, no fakeness, totally unveiled. All truth exposed. The glass is a mirror, and we get to see Him, but we also get to see us as we really are and as we're really meant to be. And then we are transformed. We're transformed when we see His glory. When we see His glory. What is His glory? When Moses said, God, let your glory pass before me, all the goodness of God passed before him. When we see the goodness of Christ, it changes us. You know, you can be just sitting there with judgmentalness, harshness, anger, hatred, and the minute that the presence of the Lord shows up, you're going, you're so good. You're so kind. You're not even mad at that person. You're so gentle. You're weeping over somebody. You're crying over their sin. You're brokenhearted over their sin. He's so good. And when we see things from His perspective, when we see His glory, His tender heart, His mercy, His love, when we see His glory, we are changed from glory to glory. Glory. What does that mean? Goodness to goodness. Goodness to goodness. It changes our harshness to softness. We see Him again. It changes our hate to love. We see Him again. It changes our judgment to mercy. Glory to glory to glory. The goodness of God begins to change that cold heart and make it soft and tender. He begins to form Himself in our heart. We're transformed. So Christ is formed in us. We have to continually behold. How do you see this, God? How do you see this? What is your heart? Bring me into your spirit. Give me the same heart you do. And that's transforming us. That you have to walk with Him. You have to trust Him. You have to know Him and keep knowing Him deeper. There's a verse. I'm just working on it. Just beginning to work on it, but it came to mind. that the Apostle Paul said, henceforth we know no man in the flesh. We knew Christ in the flesh, but henceforth we know him no more in the flesh. Sounds a little confusing, but what he's saying is we walked with Christ when he lived in a body. We saw his hands and his face, and we watched him eat. We heard him burp. We saw him in the flesh. We saw the human body and nature of humanity, not sinful, but a human Christ. We saw him. It was hard to get rid of that picture. It was pretty hard to get rid of that and just purely see the risen Christ, God, in the spirit, because we had this visual of Christ in the body. A little hard to get over that, but we don't see him that way anymore. Now we see him as who he is, God, pure spirit, pure spirit. He said, and from this time forward, I don't want to know any man in the flesh, but I want to know you in spirit. I want to know who you are, truly, purely, in spirit. I don't want to be distracted by your flesh or by my flesh. The more we see Christ, the more we can see one another in spirit. It's not easy, and it's a practice. It's a practice to try to overcome your flesh in the way you want to respond and to overcome the other guy's flesh in the way he's talking and acting and things he's doing and to live in that spirit realm. But it's a goal. It's a goal. We can only do it when we're in Christ, and that's walking one step at a time in dependence on him, in relationship with him, and beholding his goodness. That we get transformed a little more and a little more and a little more. But today it becomes with, come out of your darkness. Come out of whatever is the darkness in you and show yourself. Father, we just ask you that you apply this message to each one of us and however it does apply. Father, it will apply differently to each one of us because we all have different things that are still dark in us. But we just invite your light. We invite you to come, Holy Spirit, rise up in each one of us and just turn on a floodlight. Turn on a big searchlight and just shine it inside of us, deep inside of us, through our minds, through our hearts, through our spirits. And if you find any darkness, hold the light right there and expose it. We want to be exposed. We want to show ourselves. Come and do that in each one of us today. And deliver us, Lord. Walk us out. Walk us out. Bring your healing. Bring your truth. Bring your love to set us free. In the name of Jesus.